for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Cypress Hill is here tonight.
Woo! Yes.
And DJ Muggs both here. Be real. I don't know what happened to him tonight. Where
Be
is
real?
He?
That makes three of us, brother.
Thinks he's going for the show now.
No, he had a prior engagement or something that he had to take care of this weekend, so he couldn't be around.
All right.
So me and Muggs out here representing Soul Assassins, Latin Thugs, and Cypress Hill Cliques, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm, you know, Drew usually says that when we kick off the show Sundays anyway.
But yeah, I know what he's saying.
You saved him some trouble.
All right, good to help you out there, Drew.
Thank you.
Cypress Hill is here till death do us part, the name of the new CD, which is coming out on Tuesday. That is this Tuesday, a couple days from now. I've been, I just got back from New York this afternoon. And on the way to the airport, was looking at a bunch of the construction sites that have the stuff, you know, papered
billboards
up on there.
Yeah.
Yep. Saw the new Cypress Hill
nice
thing on there. And
they actually, B-Row was in here last week playing it with on an earlier show.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, I heard that.
With, all right.
It sounded good.
Well, we're going to play something off the new CD. We'll play a cut off of that. Like I said, that's coming out in a couple of days. And I'll play one this hour, play one the next hour. Cypress Hill is going to go do some dates with Blink-182 starting on April. Have you guys gone out with Blink-182 before? Or have they gone out with you?
No, we never went out with them before.
They're nice guys.
Yeah, real cool.
I'm sure you have a good time with them. I can't believe in the I don't know,
in the realm of
16
things.
Years Cypress Hill has been around, or maybe more, in the I don't know, 10-12 years Blink-182's been around, you guys haven't ended up on the same venue somewhere.
No, we just recently, like a year or so ago, maybe longer, Muggs could tell you correctly, we started hanging out with Travis and you know, just kicking it with him and talking with him, and before you know, we just started making these connections, you know.
He's a free spirit, that Travis is.
Yeah,
he likes to speak.
Yeah, I knew I knew he was a free spirit when he was telling us a bench warrant out for his arrest and a suspended license, and then mentioned that he got pulled over doing about 125 on the way to the studio, but the guy happened to be a Blink fan, so we let him go. But really, anyone who can go triple digits with the bench warrant, I like, you know, like once in a while you're driving on the freeway, and I drive 80, 85. I mean, I'm driving at this sort of, I'm speeding when I drive. Once in a while, a guy will blow past you in an Impala with, like, expired tabs and the taillights are out. And you're thinking, are you trying to get pulled over? Like,
yeah.
This is what you would do if you were trying to get pulled over. You got the limo tint. There's some smoke, you know, coming out of there. Expired tabs, a busted taillight, and you know when this dude gets pulled over. It's not like, oh, officer, yes, registration, insurance, proof of insurance. Yeah, I've got that right here. No, I mean, he's going to open his glove box, and a zip gun and a Ziploc bag full of weed is going to fall out of it. Like here's the whole thing. If I don't mind, you know, smoke the weed, carry the gun, do whatever you want to do, but don't put the spotlight on yourself that way. You know, I mean, this is what I love about, like cops. When the guy's out on, he's on parole, but he's in his underpants, and he's taking a bat to his neighbor's mailbox at 4:30 in the morning. Like, look, just do your thing. Don't take the bat to the mailbox. They're going to call the cops. You know the people that are already in trouble but got to get the cops coming after them again?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that? What's that impulse? You guys must know. Am I talking
it's
about you?
It's called 5150.
Yeah, you're crazy, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're already out on parole. Just relax for
a little
bit.
They cut to the chase. That's good.
Okay,
you're absolutely
nuts.
Right.
All right. But listen, no excuses. That's the point. Just,
exactly.
Hey, we're nuts. We got no excuse. That's our excuse. All right, let's hop on the phones and speak to Megan, who's 20. Megan? What's up?
I have some questions about birth control pills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been having these, I don't know, ridiculous mood swings, I guess you would call it. And I'm not sure if, you know, this could be the cause of it, but recently switched to a different kind than I had been taking before.
And the mood swings got worse when you made the switch?
I didn't even notice that I was having mood swings before I made a switch.
And what did you switch to?
Well, I was just taking regular ortho tricycline, and now I am taking this Trinessa. I guess it's a generic of it.
Right.
But, hey, do you know when you're having mood swings, or someone got to? There's some guys got to go. Like, what the? What's going on? What's going on with you? You're nuts.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Switching from
what guys are there for.
Yeah, switching. Yeah, right. Switching from a trade brand to a generic should not make a big difference.
Right. Yes. Because the pharmacist said that, you know, with all the ingredients and stuff. I'm wondering, could it be different?
It's possible. No, it's possible, but it's unlikely. So probably something else going on in your life.
Okay.
What else going on?
She's a chick.
Exactly. She's a woman.
Women swing.
A little stress
all over
there.
The place.
Any have you changed jobs or locations? Are you drinking more alcohol or using drugs? Is there anything that could make your mood swing?
No. I mean, I feel like I'm just a regular college student.
Are you under more stress or anything? Or is this guy just sort of busting your chops a little bit?
Oh, no. I think I noticed that I used to get really bad PMS. Then I got on the birth control, and that kind of helped it. And
maybe
then
maybe you're just depressed, and what he's calling mood swings is just irritability.
I was talking to my mom about it today, and she said that there is a
history. No, I gotta talk to the shrink.
Yeah, go. Listen, you're at a college. Go to the student health services. Talk to them about this.
He's done nothing but south when they're talking to their mom.
Yeah, I know it freaks you out, but you just imagine that phone call. And you can't listen any further. But just listen. It's probably a depression. You ought to have it evaluated because we can't solve that over the phone.
All right. Have a good time. Hey, Morgan?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yes, I am.
What's up? You got that little girl voice.
Man, do you 3, 4? What happened?
Nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. No abuse?
No.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wanted to get my, the hood of my clitoris pierced. But my boyfriend thinks it's, like, weird, and I wanted to know if I should take that into consideration.
Take a sane person's opinion into consideration. I think that's a good idea.
It's always good, yeah. I mean, whenever you want to puncture a hole in the hood of your clitoris and somebody says you ought to think about it, you could
take that into consideration. And by the way, at 16, no one's going to do that to you.
Oh,
they won't?
Not in this country, anyway.
I bet you Sendog knows some guys who could do that.
I bet you're probably right.
Ooh-wee. 16, huh? You should wait a couple of years, you know? Grow up a little.
It ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, you got to let the hood mature.
But, Morgan, this is you're acting something out. They're absolutely
something happened to you. What happened to you? Weird stepdad touched you?
No,
what
my parents are married.
No, that's not the point.
Man, something's wrong, though. What? Were you molested?
No.
Physically abused? Somebody hit you?
No.
Oh, that's absolutely.
It's not working.
Yeah,
you got to just tell us the truth, Morgan.
No, seriously, nothing happened.
All right, let's try a different angle. When did you lose your virginity?
A year ago.
15. How old was the guy?
Same age.
15. And any funny experimentation with a kid your own age when you were little?
No.
Nothing like that? No siblings or cousins or anything?
Mm-mm.
And was there
what's your dad do? Cop or priest?
He works on computers.
Ah,
there it is. Are these your biological parents?
Yeah.
What's wrong? And why does a you got that voice? She's got that little girl
That's
voice.
That's why we're
it always means trauma in the past. I know it's sexy, but you know all strippers have that voice because they all got abused. And then you got the wanting to get the hood pierced,
which is
and
just it's not
some dude trying to talk you into it. It's your idea at age 16 to get your hood pierced.
It seals it.
So something's up, and I don't know what it is. And your parents are together. Your dad works on computers. No one's an alcoholic. No one's a drug addict.
Nope.
What was that?
No.
Did you have any major illnesses or anything when you were growing up?
No.
All right. Well,
something's missing. We can't get at it.
I'll tell you, though, she has a future in talk radio, though, doesn't she?
Yeah.
No. No.
Either that or auctioneer.
No. Well, maybe she's just dumb.
No.
Bored and dumb?
No.
Okay, but dumb. You give me dumb.
Young and dumb.
From Seattle. Nobody's dumb from Seattle.
Really? I thought everyone was dumb from Seattle.
No.
She's probably holding back on you guys, huh?
Morgan?
Something.
Yeah. All right, we're going to hang up on you unless you tell us something.
Well, you don't tell us. Just don't get the piercing.
All right.
It's fine. Just don't do it. You'll think better of it. If indeed you are not a trauma survivor as you portray yourself, you will think better of this as you mature.
Shouldn't you be freaked out about spreading your legs for some...
It's a little scary, but...
All right. Well, that sounded sane. Because, you know, the guys that are doing it are the guys, they're the fat guys who wear fanny packs. You know, like a fat guy with the ponytail and the fanny pack?
It's the comic store owner at The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's and one messes up, you can't fix it.
He's got to love it, too.
Wouldn't you have to be a certain age?
Yeah, yeah, 18, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is
18
no one, that's why no one's going to do this to her, except your buddies, but... You know, Stan apparently knows somebody. He's holding back on us, too. But
not me.
is 18 the age?
As I understand it, yeah. They no longer need the parental consent.
I was thinking about, I always keep talking. We got to get the age of consent. We got to just establish an age. Doesn't, you know, sexually. Doesn't, shouldn't be different from Hawaii to Arizona to Idaho.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what else we need to do? I know we were talking about this, but I just got back from New York, and it's really on my mind, which is the time you can start boozing in any given airport. Like, you go to LAX, I had a first-class ticket. I went up to the Admiral's Club. You know, it's 10:30 in the morning. I have myself a couple of Bloody Marys.
Right, right.
And that's my ritual. I like to booze it up pretty good before I get onto the plane.
Or any other morning as well. But that'd be as
no, but here's the thing. It's 6 hours in a chair with no TV. You think about the concept. Think about the concept of actually sitting on a chair. You know, you're sitting in a plane for 6 hours with no TV.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be drunk. That's the only way you can cope with that kind of emotional stress. Like,
yeah.
When's the last time you sat awake, upright, in a chair for 6 hours and weren't watching 5.5 hours of TV? It's never happened. I've never physically done it. I can't do it. It's impossible. I have to drink
when
to cope
when
with
you don't read,
the notion
it's a
of
significant,
it. I don't
significant
read.
Disability.
I believe it poisons the mind.
I understand. I didn't say why you don't read. I said you don't read.
Okay. So the point is L.A., you go in, you have a couple of, you know, the bars open up at, I don't know, 9, 10 in the morning. You have a couple of Bloody Marys. Everything's copacetic when you get on the plane. You go to JFK. You go to New York. We had a 12 o'clock flight. You pull into the bar. You know, it's 11:15. Hey, give me a Bloody Mary. Yeah, we don't open. No, we don't serve. No, we don't serve until noon.
New York law.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, first off, there's nothing worse than pulling up to a bar at an airport ready to get your drunk on and have the guy tell you, well, we'll be opening the bar about the time your plane is taxiing. That's number one. Number two, can't we just decide on whatever that time's going to be? So we don't have to get confused. Now I got to start carrying a flask.
I agree.
Understand?
I was about to say, you got to...
I guess they're
start from the hotel
boat.
Room.
I agree with your point. However, couldn't you wait the 26 minutes to get into your seat when they start pouring the champagne
no,
for you
yeah,
anyway?
Yeah, because it's like you want the mimosa. Mimosa.
They'll make you a blunt if you ask
get
for
drunk
it.
On mimosas. I'm a man.
Well, actually, you want the pills to kick in with the alcohol right
that's
around that
right.
time.
That's right.
Boom.
That's right.
You remember, I sat next to you on a flight.
I was just thinking about that. Sen was delirious. Although, but during that 3-hour flight, we solved world peace.
Yeah,
world peace
did.
After our conversation.
Too bad he doesn't remember anything.
Yeah.
I know. You want the pill. Here's the thing. That booze is like the fertilizer that helps the little sapling pill grow in your belly. You know what I mean? You want that pill drops as a seed, becomes a mighty oak tree of being effed up.
All right.
The booze is the fertilizer that goes on top of that. If you can't get any booze, the seed dies.
Oh, I see.
In the soil, the barren soil. You understand?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's all I'm saying. There's no way I can remember from what airport the bar opens. Let's just go ahead and call it 10 a.m. and I can get my booze on and let's move forward. You New Yorkers, by the way, should be outraged. All you ever do is brag about your goddamn city and how the party never ends over there. You don't talk about the part where you can't get a drink before noon at the airport.
Their bars close at like 5, though.
All right, but open. Okay.
Uh-huh. Somebody got to go home. Hey, they don't want people actually having seizures because it continues
on. I'm not flying the plane. I'm not on. I'm just sitting on it. I'm cargo. You know
indeed.
What I'm
indeed.
Indeed. Just look.
Here we
just
go.
Let's, no. Nah. Let No. Pick a time. Let's pick a time you can a chick can get after a guy. You know, call it 16, call it 18, It'll nationwide. That'll be the age. And let's pick the time that the bars open and close. Let's do it all. Let's just standardize everything. Here's the thing. There used to be all these different rules from state to state when people were taking covered wagons everywhere. Yeah. Now it's $19. You get on a Southwest flight, you're somewhere, 2,000 miles away. Everything's one big state now. Let's just make everything the same. People are traveling around too much. Yes?
Yes.
It's confusing.
Yes.
What? Yeah, okay.
Here we go.
But they should have booze at all time available in the airport.
Absolutely.
So your airport should be sort of international waters.
There should be craps tables. There's prostitution.
All right,
It should be like the Vegas airport.
Keep going.
All right. Look, what do you care, Drew? You're not going anywhere.
That's right.
Killing time for you. You're just getting paid while I'm talking.
Daniel, Germany or Florida?
Oh. Yeah.
You're 14. What's up?
Okay. A man was trying to steal clothes donated to a charity, but he was arrested after he fell into the man-sized collection bin. Arriving at the container, the officers saw two arms. The left hand held a cigarette and a voice demanded, "Give me a light." A passerby had alerted them after hearing strange noises coming from the inside of the metal bin late at night. Police prevented the trapped 43-year-old from smoking and called the fire brigade to free him. They let him go after charging him with attempted robbery.
All right, so somebody was trying to steal something out of, like, a Goodwill box.
Yeah.
All right, you did a horrible job of setting that up. Did this happen in Germany or Florida? I'm going Florida.
I'm going Florida, too. Gentlemen?
Germany or Florida?
Florida.
Germany, just to be different.
All right, there we go.
Daniel?
Yeah, it was actually Germany.
Oh, Sven's got it.
It's a genius, I tell you. And Drew, I don't say this a lot about the guest. He has a gift.
Clearly, a gift point on
the Germany or Florida. You probably never even played Germany or Florida before.
We just came from there last week.
Oh, he knows.
Yes, okay, so there's a lot of sick ass going on there. Let's hear a song from Cypress Hill. Yes? Yes? Chris?
Yeah.
You ready to rock here? This is off of Till Death Do Us Part, and this one's called What's Your Number?
On the
hit mission. I'm too good for that. I have so much to offer. Got a good job working at my mom and dad's law firm. You got goals, that's what she asked. Yeah, I wanna fill my home with platinum plaques. It takes hard work, but you know what's coming after. She said, oh my god, you must be a famous rapper. I do alright, but I'm never satisfied. I'm told when you still love what you do, it never gets old. I strive for more, but that's enough about me. Why don't we skip out the club, take a walk on the streets? We slipped out of the club with no worries. Seems she wanted to get out in a hurry. We hung all night and we lost our friends.
Till they caught us banging in the back of a Benz.
What's your name? What's your number? I would like to get to know you. Can we have a conversation? Tonight is young, girl, give me a chance. What's your name? What's your number? I would like to get to know you. Can we have a conversation? Tonight is young, girl, give me a chance. What's your name? What's your number? I would like to
Cypress Hill, everybody.
Yes.
Send off.
And the crowd roaring.
Till Death Do Us Part, name of the CD, coming out this Tuesday. The guys are going to be on my dear friend Jimmy Kimmel's show this Tuesday. So you can see them on Cypress Hill. I should say you can see Cypress Hill on Jimmy Kimmel Live this Tuesday. Dr. Drew here. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Send Dog, DJ Muggs, both here tonight from Cypress Hill. Till Death Do Us Part, name of the CD.
That's right. Got to go get it. Tuesday morning, get up and go get it.
Yeah. Set those alarms. Get to that CD store early. Well, I guess they open about 9 or 10.
Just stand in line all night with a sleeping bag.
Yeah. And do that thing where you stand in your sleeping bag and hop forward. That's a white trash move right there, in line, in the sleeping bag. Oh, so I just got back from New York, and you know what? I love the fact that everyone drives like a maniac in New York. I really appreciate it. And then L.A., you get to L.A., and it's like all of a sudden I've just hit this ether patch or something. Everyone just, you wonder why this town is always in a gridlock and never seems to be moving. It's just everyone just drags their ass here. Every driver, you guys travel, you get picked up at the airport. I got picked up, we got picked up in New York Wednesday night, 9-10 o'clock at night. It was snowing in New York. The guy's weaving in and out of traffic. The guy's driving, it's like it's the streets of San Francisco. You know, there's ice on the road. It's sleet. It's snowing. He's doing 80, buzzing in and out of traffic. I was on the we're driving home from the freeway on the freeway about 3:30 today. And here's when you know it's bad. Like you know when the wrong people are passing you. Like, you know, once in a while, a guy goes by you on a Ducati motorcycle and he's in a tuck position. Fine. Then some guy goes flying past you in a Z or something. Fine. I had a woman in a beige Taurus wagon with like a triple chin in her 50s that kind of looked like my mom with that bad short haircut just go blowing past us on the freeway. It's like, we're getting passed by fat, white, menopausal bitches in beige Tauruses now. Could you go a little faster? People are just buzzing past us. Like, that doesn't bother you as a driver? Just seeing, and I actually said to him, I said, look, what's the speed limit at a certain point? He said 65. Could we do that? Could we at least do that? And he got us into the diamond lane. And by the way, here's the guy I need shot at. The guy, and you guys, Dog, you know people, right?
We got plenty of people,
guy does the hood piercings could probably take this a-hole out. These are the guys who drive in the diamond lane, 8 miles an hour slower than the posted speed limit. You're in the diamond lane, and everybody is blowing past you in the other lanes. There's no, that's rape. That's rape to a man. When you're sitting in the diamond lane and the rest of the freeway's blowing past you, and the guy who's driving you is going, hey, we're in the diamond lane. Like, what do you want? What do you want me to do? Like, they got the double line. I can't get over. It's just, I crawl. I can't. What goes on? What do these guys do?
They're trying to piss off on purpose.
Is it attack? Is it emotional attack? Are they coming after me?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Are they just all
not
on
just you,
line?
Man? that happens to me all the time
but
too.
But what goes on in New York? What do they know that we don't know over here? How come they're in a hurry? How come they want to arrive? What are we scared of?
They know how to drive.
I gotta blame the cops. I blame the cops. I don't think they write tickets. Not in the city. In the city of New York, there's no tickets. And here, all we do is talk about, you know, we got those stupid signs you pass by that says, you know, you're going 43 miles. I've got, who cares? There's nobody around. Oh, and it's like you pass that thing and it's like, you're going 43. Oh, I'm going to turn myself in. Shut up. Would you start busting crackheads or something, you idiots? Hey, oh, gee whiz, I'm going 41 in a 35. Who cares?
In New York, it seems like it's only professional drivers on the street, too.
Yeah, well, it's either you're a professional driver or you soon become a professional driver because you've entered the ranks of professional drivers. Like it's like the Indianapolis 500.
Yes,
you just drove on to you drove on to the infield. You're going to get ran over by the crowd.
Exactly what it is.
I blame the cops. Let's go. Let's just go. Get the town moving, would you? Stop threatening to pull everyone over all the time, and don't tell us how fast we're going. Who cares? You know, how are those chicken-ass signs? What do those things cost? A couple hundred grand? You're going 42 miles? Who cares? What am I supposed to do? Go home and start crying or flog myself? All right. Drew, what happened? You just...
What?
Okay. Drew's like, what are you nervous about? Are you nervous about something?
No.
It's just like,
well.
Dave? 22.
Hello. First of all, long time listener and first time caller. Yeah. You guys have seen me through many dark nights.
But long time stoner, too, right?
No, actually, not tonight, man.
Yeah, I understand not tonight, but long time.
Just really tired.
Long time stoner. He sounds just like one of the cast members of the Orange County TV show, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I envision him as being at those parties. And
Dosey?
Yeah.
No. Those are good-looking blonde people.
Oh, okay.
Dave's a very unattractive stoner.
Hey, there you go.
From Santa Ana.
I was calling because I lost my sex drive. Me and my girl have been together a little bit over 5 years, and... just a lot of stuff's been coming up from, not with me and her, but just the whole fact that we've been together for five and a half years, and...
You're basically done.
This guy basically... Well, hold on a second. Listening to Dave, this is what I felt like in the back seat of this car with the tourists blowing by. It's like, go! Go!
Yeah.
Go! You know that feeling? Just like I'm trapped in this, just like those dreams where you're running in sand and a giant is chasing you. That's what it's like being. This is what Dave, were you driving my car?
No, man. I just I look at it like I don't want to be tied down to one person. That there's still a lot of life to live with other people.
That's fine. Yeah. That would be normal, Dave.
Oh,
that's
no,
fine.
And
Dave's living life.
Oh,
large,
man, I mean, I'm picturing Dave on the French Riviera.
I may not be looking, but I know how to talk to the ladies.
No, I know. I'm picturing you sort of a James Bond, Pierce Brosnan type, you know?
Not necessarily. To be honest, I could put it off more like an Adam Carolla or Jimmy Kimmel.
Adam Carolla. Yeah, now we're talking.
I got the velvet crown, you know?
Hey, dog, so did you like actually lose your sex drive, or you just don't want to do it with your old lady no more?
No, I just, in Cypress Hill. Much love to all of you guys.
Right, dog.
You guys are down, you know, down.
You'd really be a lot prouder of you got in there and smacked some ass around.
Yeah. No.
Disappoint Cypress Hill.
Well, you know.
Come on,
I'm
Dave.
Look it up.
This.
I'm not gay because if I was, I'd be going after it.
He'd be busy. Yeah, he'd be busy.
What anybody else would tell me.
Right.
Our asses would all be bleeding.
I'd be going after it. What I'm trying to say is, Dave.
Hold on, by the way. That's a great argument for not being gay. Like, listen, I'm not gay because if I was, I'd be cornholing you right now. Right now. Okay, I guess you're not gay.
That's quite an argument.
Quite compelling.
I think Muggs has a point here. He's smoking too much pot. He's not into this girlfriend.
When Muggs says you're smoking too much pot, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know.
You're smoking pot. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
And look, it's in this relationship since he was 17. These things are supposed to end. They're supposed to end. Probably should have ended 4 years ago or 3 years ago at least.
And Dave, not much in the looks department, but the velvet tongue.
Another auctioneer.
I mean, he can talk.
Yeah, this guy talks it up.
Hey, Dave. A supermodel right out of her skirt.
You know what always works great for me, Dave, is get yourself a hood rat.
Yeah.
This is back to the hood piercing thing again.
Yeah, all right. Thanks a lot.
All right, Dave. Dave, where are you working, buddy? What do you do for a living?
I'm a real estate agent.
Real estate agent?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. He does mostly gardening sheds, though. You sell any houses, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Dave.
I can see your
talking
girl.
To Dave.
Hey, Dave, come on, go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be right there, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Remember, he's the one talking them into it, supposedly.
Yeah. Oh, Dave, yeah. Like I said, not much to look at, but velvety really? Tongue. Oh, yeah. He's got the rap down.
Velvet tongue Dave.
I like when the guys who are explaining to you, they have the rap with the ladies, and you've been talking to them for 10 minutes, about ready to kill yourself. It's like, really? It doesn't sound like you got the gift, the gab. All right.
Not the one you think you do.
All right. Ruthie, also, let me say something else. Dave's one of these guys, he's been off the market for 5 years. He's had himself a girlfriend since high school. He's 22
now.
He's
still on the honeymoon.
No, he thinks.
He may think his stock is a little higher than it actually is. Because he's like, hey, man, I've had a chick for 5 years. I'll just bust up with her. Word will get out on the streets that Big Dave is a free man. And the phone will be ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
6 months out on the streets, he might be back with the with the ex. Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ruthie?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's happening?
Not a whole lot. All right. Okay.
Should you go out with Dave?
Yeah.
What? No, I don't know Dave.
You don't know Dave?
No, I'm having a problem with my so-called boyfriend right now, though.
All right.
Okay, we've been going out for like 9 months now. But I haven't talked to him since January, and he just so happens to have moved to a different state.
Mm-hmm. You haven't talked to him since January?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him since January.
All right, so you guys are broken up.
Yeah, whatever he is, he's not your boyfriend.
Broke up.
Yeah, that's it. He's gone.
No, because I've talked to his best friend that he's known all of his life, and I told
him. I don't care what the best friend says, Ruthie. That is absurd to think that there's still a relationship going on. I maybe this guy can't tell you the truth, or maybe he does. Maybe he.
Maybe he's trying to screw
right,
you.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Or, he's just trying to. You know, he's just trying to be kind.
Whatever it is, listen. 3 months without any contact means termination. Period.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It's sad that he's not man enough to tell you that, and you have to sort of draw your conclusion.
It's sad that you're not smart enough to figure it out.
But it's like, well, my job right now, I haven't been at work since December, but I'm a computer. Yeah. It's like,
you don't have a job.
That job doesn't exist anymore.
And you don't have a boyfriend.
Should I call him and tell him that?
Oh, he knows. He's known since January.
Keep him moving, Ruth.
What's up, baby doll?
Not a whole lot.
You big gal?
What?
This is the work of a gal with a big ass. Do you have a large ass?
I do. Why? Yeah. Why?
Okay. Hold on a second. This is the work of a woman with a wide ass. You know what I'm saying?
The three of us don't want anything to do with this.
But you know what I'm talking about. This ain't a supermodel.
This whatever. It's she's somebody who.
This is a big ass.
Is
move.
Clinging to hope because there's not much else going on, which she freely admits.
I was impressed by that.
Oh,
that way she went right through that.
Hear what big ass is. Ruthie.
Yep.
All right, baby. Now what's going on with your self-esteem?
My self-esteem.
Yeah.
Oh, something's I'm fine.
Up. You're feeling good about yourself?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm not huge. I weigh 130 pounds.
No,
so
but
five, big. Five.
You're fat.
But big ass, though, right?
It's not like, I don't have a big ass.
Okay, it's misshapen.
But I guess you could say that. But
all right, all right. It's interesting. All right, okay. I got to say, I got one of my balls hangs lower than the other.
But proportionally.
Proportionally.
You barely notice it.
Yeah, it's hard to notice.
No, I'm not fat at all.
All right. Okay. No, I'm not calling you fat. I was picturing a plump ass. I don't know why.
A lot of guys are into that.
A lot of guys are into that. Probably the same guy could get you the hood piercing. Sendog guy was probably into that bubble ass.
No.
Ruthie?
Yeah.
All right. So you're living in Washington. You're 18.
Mm-hmm.
Junior college?
No, I'm still a senior.
Senior.
Where are you going
next?
What's your plan for next year?
What?
Where are you planning to go next year?
Edmonds.
Of course.
Edmonds Junior College?
Edmonds, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I smell junior college like I smell a big ass. Drew.
You're never
right?
wrong.
I
never
mean,
wrong.
Ever wrong. Either here's the thing. At 18, I figured she was already in a JC.
Yeah.
But I can smell. I can even
you smell JC
when
the way I smell alcohol.
I can smell when you're bound for a JC.
Yeah.
All right. So Ruthie, he's gone. Don't
Fine.
Even dignify it with a phone call.
Right.
Move on.
There we go.
Find a new guy, no problem.
No problem.
And you got to do better than junior college.
Yeah, that's more important than the guys.
Here's the thing. All you guys that are seniors in high school right now who say, next year I'll be going to junior college, here's what you do. Save yourself some book money and have yourself frozen. It's really just the same thing. It's like saying, look, I'm 18. I don't know what the F I want to do with my life. I don't really feel like getting a job. I don't want to join the military. That's going to suck. I don't have any family members that have, like, sofa factories or anything I can go work at. And I don't have the grades to go to regular college. So I'm just going to go here for a couple of years. I'll just live at home, tolerate my stepmom, and live and do a little work. You know, deal a little weed out of the snack shack. No, instead... Save yourself. Have yourself frozen.
There you go.
Because it's really, that's what junior college is. It's like just freeze yourself for 3 years until you figure out, until you get some gig to get on somewhere.
Fantastic.
Just freeze yourself. Pour liquid nitrogen on yourself while you're still in high school.
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Oh, really?
Your skin will just burn off.
I'm no scientist, Drew, but I think I know how to freeze a senior. All right. Let's take a break. Cypress Hill is here tonight. We'll hear something else off the new CD in the 11 o'clock hour. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Cypress Hill.
In the house.
Yo.
DJ Muggs, Send Dog here tonight.
Yes, sir.
The new CD, Till Death Do Us Part, is out on Tuesday. That is this Tuesday, the 23rd. You get in line Monday night, and you do that sleeping bag hop we're talking about. And that way, as soon as the doors crack open, pow, you're in there. Because it's going to be a stampede of youngins trying to get their hands on these CDs. They're going to go fast, too. That is a Tuesday. Also, Tuesday night, then you can see him on Jimmy Kimmel Live performing. So, big Cypress Hill Tuesday. All right, let's get back to the phones and speak to Sterling, who's 24. Sterling?
What's up? How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Want to say what's up to the boys of Cypress Hill for great records, especially Black Sunday. Got to give it up. But I have a question real quick. I've been dating this girl for a little while, and we kind of had to talk to tonight about, you know, finally having sex. And she told me that she has herpes. And now, and she says I can only contract it if she has an outbreak. But I'm just calling to see if that's true or not.
Okay, put him on hold for a second.
All right.
I will answer your question, so listen carefully. Why does it... Does he sound bogus to you?
No, I don't know. No.
All right.
Why? Sound bogus
to you?
Is there
something... I don't know. Something wasn't ringing authentic for me. But anyway,
well, maybe it is. It didn't sound bogus because it's too so boring. You know what I mean?
But the whole rap that went along with it.
Sometimes people rehearse, and God bless them. It's like an acceptance speech at the Golden Globes or something. They go through their thank
yous. So here's the deal. The outbreak, yes, if she has an outbreak, you will contract herpes. You shouldn't have any sexual contact. You can transmit it to your mouth. You can get around a condom. You'll get the outbreak.
If she's having an outbreak.
If she's not having an outbreak, you still can contract it. But a condom is pretty good at protecting you from that. You won't have so much virus around.
Yeah. And you got to keep in mind when the new partner's pieces meet, sometimes it stirs up the old snow globe down there.
Yes, it does.
You know what I'm saying?
Well
said. It's like a snow globe.
Yeah, that's why you shook it up.
You shook it up. Pow. There's more. There's all that virus floating around and stuff. Yeah.
Something to remember.
Snow globe.
Yeah, interesting. Called the snow globe theory of viral dissemination.
Yeah. Sundog's got a guy who can get a snow globe hood piercing if the price is right.
He makes mouth condoms, too.
Pretty funny, Adam, how you talked about putting your dork up against the snow globe and how the people in the back would be scared of it because it was so big. I thought that was classic.
Oh, really?
That was hilarious.
Yeah. That's an old rap.
For a while.
Certainly, just so I test my radar a little bit. Fine question. No problem, but... Do you really have that girlfriend, or was it just a reason to call the show?
No, it's like I say, it's just something we've been talking about, and worried about for the future. So,
Drew, what do you mean test your radar?
I just want to see if my radar's working. It's not.
Radar hasn't worked in years.
It works.
Well, you never know what anyone's talking about.
That's different. That's a different kind of
different.
Radar.
That's a different radar.
Yeah,
but you do have a good bogus radar.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the one I was cluing into.
Right. It's funny because Drew can tell a bogus phone call. He's very good at tapping into that. Other than that, he has almost no human instincts at all. Mm-hmm. He never knows anything.
I don't know what people are talking about.
No, you know, one of these good robotic things that Drew will do is we get a lot of guests in here. We'll have guests. You know, Rod Stewart will come in here, and then we'll get some fifth neighbor on some WB show that no one gives a rat's hiney about. I mean, let's face it. And we gotta keep the night filled up, you know. Once in a while, producer Ann will grab the camera. If you know, Rod Stewart blows through here, she'll go grab the camera. We'll get a picture with Rod Stewart. But if some fifth-rate D-list celebrity blows through here, producer Ann doesn't get the camera. We'll all be leaving, and Drew will always stop and go, Ann, don't you want to get a picture with us and Miss You'll Never Hear Of Again? And then Ann will always go, ugh. She'll look down and then look at the person and go, yeah, I forgot. Let me get the camera. And then she'll have to go take the camera.
You guys better hope the camera's out when you're leaving tonight. Yeah. You know exactly what Adam's thinking about you guys.
Now, we got a ton of pictures of Cypress.
Yeah,
already. Of
course. Of course. Ton.
The office is lined with pictures of Cypress Hill. And get that camera. Okay.
These guys aren't laughing. By the way,
I'm just hoping she's got the camera.
She'll get the camera. And get the camera. All right, let's talk to Liz, who's 15. Liz?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Not much. I have a problem, which is, I guess, why most people call you.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is, like, really obsessed with... Have you heard of Dennis Kucinich? He's running for president.
He was running for president, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's still in the race. Like, she's still working on the campaign, and she has pictures of him everywhere, like, in her room, like, in the living room, and she works on his campaign all the time, even though he's obviously not going to win, and she watches his DVDs, his movies, and I really think she's, like, in love with him, even though...
How many movies does he have, right?
Yeah, he's got, like... all kinds of little videos that she copies and hands out.
All right, I really don't think he's in the race anymore.
No, I'm pretty sure he is, because we were rallying, like, in San Francisco on the 20th, and there were a whole bunch of people with Kucinich shirts and everything. There was, like, a group of middle-aged women screaming, Dennis Kucinich, but I don't know, maybe he's not.
All right, so your mom's a crackpot. That's right. Look, when you get older, you realize your parents are nuts, and you should have never listened.
I already know that, though.
Okay, now you're old enough to realize. I was 15 when I started to realize my parents were idiots. And, Drew, when did you realize your parents were idiots? 13? 12? Whatever it was. As soon as they were done paying for college, you realized they were idiots. Drew had to kiss ass until they were done paying for college. But that's what you realize. You either realize they're dumb or losers or idiots or crackpots, and it's always a little disappointing. But now you've realized that. That's good. You can move on.
Yeah, but it's sort of affecting my sanity because it's 24/7. Like,
where's your dad?
My parents are divorced, and my mom has a boyfriend who lives with us.
Where's your dad?
He's in Mountain View.
Can you talk to him?
Not really. He I don't know, we don't have a very good relationship.
All right, but your mom, look, this may be a healthy obsession. Maybe she's bipolar.
Well,
I don't
mean,
know.
At least she's not obsessed with Charles Manson. It's just a crappy politician she's
following. It's sort of her job.
Hey, he's not crappy, though. He's awesome. I think
all right,
he's awesome. But...
Yeah, I know. He's a delight. I'm just saying,
yeah.
I don't know, this sounds like maybe Liz has been bit by the Kucinich bug herself. Okay, look, if you don't want to go to the rally, don't go to the rally. Just go to high school. Okay, let me say something to all you kids out there with your crazy parents and your broken families and your evil stepdads. You get involved with school, you start playing sports, and here's your schedule. You get up 7 in the morning, you get your ass together, you go to school. School finishes about 3, and then after that, whatever practice starts.
Sports,
band
yeah.
practice, football, volleyball, you do whatever until like 6, 7 o'clock at night. You come home, you wave to your stepdad, you eat your dinner, you go to your room, you do some homework, you beat off. You eat a little more, you beat off again. Then you double down on the beat off. Then you go to bed, and you start the same thing. You never talk to anybody at your house. You just go past them. They're just like strangers you room with.
Great advice.
You don't get them pissed off. Don't freak them out.
If you're
and
able.
Then you go. You get your grades good, and you go far away to college.
That's if
and
they've
never
shown
see
themselves
the crazy people
to be
anymore.
Bad people.
That's
if
right.
If you don't feel that way about your folks, do try to talk
yeah,
to them.
You can talk to them if you like them, but the majority of our listeners don't. Take a quick break. Cypress Hill tonight.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Cypress Hill in the hizzy tonight.
Yes,
Drew.
For Rizzy.
For Shtizzy.
Shtizzy.
How was Snoop? Did we with Snoop at the Comedy Central thing?
I saw my main man Snoop. He was performing with he had Bishop Don Magic Juan out on stage with his chalice of champagne.
What color sparkly suit and
green.
Top hat?
Well, now
it's usually green.
Now it's green and gold because green is for the money and gold is
for the
honey. You understand? Yeah, I had a chance to go cruising with Don Magic Juan in his green and gold caddy at when we were doing a man show. Show bit with him. It's ridiculous. He's got a... well, here's the thing about... Bishop Don Magic Juan is the guy who is Snoop's...
spiritual advisor.
His guru.
He just... He wears like gold lamé suits and has a... He drinks out of a chalice, by the way. And there's something... I don't know. Somehow the chalice enables you to drink and drive. Like, if I'm sitting there holding a Mickey's Big Mouth, I'm going to get popped for an old open container. But Bishop Don Magic Juan can drive around with that chalice full of champagne all day long and nothing ever happens.
Does his car have a chalice holder?
I guess it would be. Anything you put in a chalice and technically becomes a chalice holder. But it's it's like a gold leaf like tumbler with rhinestones stuck to it. And he's got huge rings all over him, and he just stands around smiling a big gold tooth and always seems to be in a good mood. Now, why wouldn't he be in a good mood? He just stands next to Snoop. I don't know if Snoop pays him like by the song or by the morsel, the nugget,
the spiritual nugget,
the pearl of it, the pearl of wisdom that passes forth. I don't know how he gets paid. All I know is if you want Snoop to show up at your gig, you better pay for Don Magic Juan and Snoop's uncle now. By the way, oh yeah, Snoop's
Uncle Junebug.
Uncle Junebug, he's on stage. There's 50, Snoop performs. There's like 9 guys just standing around. Like, who's this guy? That's my gym coach from junior high. That's my stepdad. This guy we just met on the way to the theater. I'm just standing out on stage with him. I got to get to that point in my career, Drew, where I'm going out on stage and I have 4 or 5 guys that just stand there. Yeah, that is, that's what I want to join that posse. That's why I
so, just want to be one of those guys.
I want to be the guy who just kind of hangs out. Yeah, just,
perfect
you know.
For you. Perfect
and then, look,
job for you.
It's not like, at least like if you're a white guy, you gotta give the guy a tambourine or something. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, get busy, dude. You gotta look like you're doing something out here. You can't just be standing around. You gotta be playing that hollowed out fish or something. You know, like Linda McCartney or something. Like, oh, baby, just go over there. Come on, just go ahead and smack the tambourine a little. Do something. No, not Snoop. Those guys just stand there.
Smiling.
Just smiling and
happy
laughing. And everyone, people scared to ask him. And the problem is, like, white people, we don't know who's who. So we're like, you must be Bishop John Magic Don Ho. Anyway, I'm delighted with your music. You know, they don't know that. No, this guy doesn't do anything. I've been to his apartment too, Bishop Don Magic Wani. He drives, you know, like a, you know, gold Bentley around, but he lives in a crappy one-bedroom apartment, and it's probably about a mile from here, Drew. We can swing by.
Seriously?
Oh yeah, you know where he lives. You'll see the caddy out front, and the smoke coming from it. All right. It's a good time, so yeah. Said hi to Snoop, and he performed at this gig I did on Friday. All right, you ready to go here, Drew?
Let's do.
Blake?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's happening?
All right, well, first I want to say Cypress Hill, I'm going to see you when you come to Kansas City with Blink-182 and stuff. And Adam and Drew, you guys are great. But
thank
all
right. you.
My question is, with masturbation, can you do it so much to where you can mess something up or anything like that?
You can sort of break the skin down and cause...
He's talking about his comforter.
Oh, you can mess that up right away.
Yeah,
but you get urethral irritation. You can irritate your prostate. It's all kinds of things you can sort of irritate. And
What are you going for, Blake? What can we put you down for a day?
Well, you know, normally it's like maybe twice, but, you know, I'm
twice.
Just saying if over time you do it too much, you know, or not over time, but too much in one day.
No.
Yeah. What kind of numbers are we talking about?
Well, actually, the most I've probably ever done on a board day is probably like five or something like that.
Five?
Yeah.
You get carpal tunnel syndrome in your hand.
Yeah. What about your hand? Like, I used to have to unpeel my hand from my penis one finger at a time, you know? Like you know, like there were like pipe cleaners, you know? Like, like there had wire in them. I said, you know?
You got to that point?
I got to the point where actually, and then eventually I just started saying, why take my hand out of a semi-fist position? Why not just leave it that way?
Why take your hand off your penis? It seemed like that's what you finally
Well,
got to.
Sometimes I had to go outdoors and stuff, so I'd have to pull it off, but I'd leave my hand in the semi-fist position,
I wonder what
like an action figure. You know?
That's why I sent you for the operation. You didn't tell me about
the kung fu grip,
all right?
All right, he's fine.
Yeah,
you don't wear those parts out, do you?
No. Well, you can irritate things, but you don't harm.
You're a normal young man.
Michael?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Michael.
I'm looking at a picture of you right now, and you are hot.
Yeah. He's a good-looking man.
He's a very good-looking man.
He's a passionate man, too.
Oh, very passionate.
All right.
Well, he kind of wants to talk about his mental illness.
Oh, yeah, you give Drew a compliment.
No, but I mean, it's sort of consistent with not being well.
Michael, you have a mental illness?
Yeah, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if the doctor told me I can never drink again.
Yeah.
Because it could cause manic episodes.
That's true. Especially if you're a brittle bipolar. If you tend towards rapid cycles, you easily flip into manias, any kind of...
Is that brittle? That's called a brittle bipolar?
It's like brittle diabetic.
So does that mean like
rapid cycling?
I can never have a beer or a drink again?
Well, at least until you've been stable for a long time. And the question is, are you an alcoholic? And if you are, and that's also sort of confounding your bipolar illness, obviously alcohol will be a problem if you're exposed to it at all.
Well, you're 17, right?
Yeah, I mean, I never drank a lot. Every time I drank, though, I used to like cry or have problems drinking.
Yeah.
You're 17.
Oh, I've never been good with it.
All right, well, don't do it then.
How about marijuana?
Same thing.
Oh,
marijuana can really destabilize bipolar, unfortunately.
Really?
So, like, even when I'm in college next year and everything, I've just got to sit at home while all my friends go out to the parties?
No, I didn't say that. I said you've got to be very, very careful with substances. And if you're an addict, that needs to be dealt with as a separate issue. But
what college are you going to next year?
I want to go to University of Michigan, probably.
You want to go there?
It's one of my schools.
Well, you're a senior?
Yeah.
Well, you should have already applied, and you should be waiting to hear.
No, I'm actually a junior.
You're in the 11th grade
now? I'm in the 11th grade.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I looked at that. I looked at Northwestern. I looked at Washington University in St. Louis.
All good schools.
All right.
Maybe SC, but I don't know. I really have to never drink again?
Michael, I'm not your doctor. Your doctor told you it will destabilize your bipolar. That it certainly will.
Okay.
If you're an alcoholic or an addict, yes, you should not be drinking ever again. Can you ever be exposed to a substance again if you're not an addict alcoholic?
Oh.
Yeah, you possibly could if your bipolar stays stable for a
if
long, long time.
If I couldn't drink tonight, I'd kill myself right now.
I know.
If you told me I couldn't drink later tonight.
Yeah. I'm not telling you anything.
No, man. I got my booze on that airplane today, boy. Free booze. I'll tell you that, nothing, nothing. And when you're white trash like me, that free booze thing, that is a big deal. That's a huge deal. You can't turn down free booze.
When you're white trash like you.
You can't. I mean, the free booze is such a huge... It's booze. It's got the two elements. It's got the booze and the free thing. You know, free food, tough enough for the white trash gene to get past, you know. I don't care if you're on a diet or you're full or whatever it is. If there's some free food somewhere, you got to take some. I got a gift basket. I had to rape the gift basket to get it into the bag today. We're leaving.
Comedy Central sent
me a gift basket. It was a bottle of champagne. I drank that at the hotel.
Of course.
And then there's a bunch of little pears, a little Bailey's bottle, some little fruits and cheeses and stuff. My wife's like, what are you going to do with that? What am I going to do with it? I'm getting it into the bag. Said, what do you mean? I was like, listen, start pulling the stuff out and stuffing it in different compartments in the bag. We get home, we open it, and I got a crushed pear and a $2 bottle, mini bottle of Bailey's. It's like, I can't leave food behind, and I can't leave booze behind either.
My wife, by the way, has been listening to you lately, and we had a dinner party last night at our house, and pies showed up.
Mmm, smart.
Yeah.
So your wife's been listening and bought pies instead of cake.
Yep.
And how'd those pies? How was your pie experience, Drew?
Excellent.
Excellent.
The pie, kind of pie we never talk about, but she mentioned she likes it. I like to blueberry pie.
Blueberry.
Yeah, it's good.
Nothing wrong with blueberry.
A good blueberry.
Not good. Well, okay, but no, it's no fair saying good. You know, everyone gets in this argument where they go, "What fruit's the best?" or something. They go, "I like a plum," and then the guy goes, "I like a nectarine," and then someone goes, "You cannot be a good blood red." I mean, like when it's perfectly. It's no fair saying good.
All right, blueberries.
They all have to be the same level.
Right,
if we're going to compete, you can't have a mealy peach against my excellent banana.
Well, there was a peach and a blueberry. The blueberry won.
Oh, really? It was better.
Yeah.
Blueberry's good with some ice cream, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys like that pie a la mode?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the best. When you're stoned. Have you guys got stoned before?
Yeah, I got stoned tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. I see.
I'm stoned now.
Okay. So you have.
That's how we tolerate
when you. When you take that apple pie or that boysenberry pie and you put it in the microwave for 30, 40 seconds, put that big scoop of vanilla ice cream on it, and it starts bleeding off the side.
Yeah.
Then the blueberry or the boysenberry, and then you got that white vanilla, and it's just all starting to mix together in the bottom, making that, But you guys, you don't get the munchies when you get stoned, do you?
Nah, I got that already dominated, man. I graduated
from that. That's done. Yeah, because that's a rookie move there, right?
That's high school stuff.
That's high school. Get stoned. We're going to Tommy's.
Yeah.
Get stoned. I'm going to take a whole bag of Cheetos to my head.
You know, they've finally now been working. They've done enough research.
That's rookie stuff.
Not in this country, by the way, but they've finally done enough research on marijuana to understand where it is in the brain that activates, where the appetites are stimulated like that. It's comfort food. It's like nurturance food. And now they have blocking agents for that. And so when you take it, you don't want to smoke cigarettes. You don't want to smoke pot. You don't want to eat.
Well,
so it's a perfect diet medicine.
Sprinkle some of that in on the load.
No, I'm saying, how about we sprinkle in, like, so we spray it across the country because there's all this problem with obesity. And by the way, everyone in the country is obese now. What happened to the commercials that I had to grow up with and listen to most of my adult life about 10 million children go to bed hungry every night in America? Hunger in America is the biggest problem in the world.
Everyone's fat.
What the hell? It was secondhand smoke.
I don't know. Look, are we fat? Are we hungry? What is it? But I do know that the seasoned marijuana smoker does not get the munchies.
That system gets saturated. But the CB1 receptor.
And by the way, you couldn't because you'd be 1,100 pounds. Sendog would be 1,400-1,500 pounds. We'd have to bring him in here on a forklift.
Well, you'd have to cut in my house.
If I do one of those moves like on Geraldo, we have to take out a bay window in order to get you out.
Yeah, no, I learned to dominate that, you know, real early. You know what I mean?
Smart.
Because, you know, when you're a stoner, either you got money or you got weed, never both, so.
Right.
You yeah, get high and then you're busted and you don't get to eat to go home.
That's right. You don't get food.
Can't do both.
Yeah. Yeah, but now you could afford the burgers and the weed, though, right?
Yeah, but I kind of like filet mignons and like lobsters.
And, oh, you've been spoiled. Yeah, you're ruined.
No, yeah. No, I've been cultured.
Yeah, but here's the whole thing: when you get stoned, I mean, even though filet mignon and lobster is better, you still want the Tommy's burger, don't you? You know what I mean? No,
that's you. Not me, you're lightweight, man. Dude. You're lightweight. You're white trash too.
Yeah, that's white trash. Yeah, it's lightweight. All right. Let's, should we hear a song?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Right.
Yeah? A little Cypress Hill, Chris? Feeling good about this? This is off of Till Death Do Us Part, which is coming out this Tuesday when they're on Jimmy Kimmel Live, by the way. And this song is called Busted in the Hood.
To tell about a thugged out homie I know so well. It started way back when I was a teen, in the hood on the corner slanging dope to fiends. Had a little stash that could serve your need. You can do what you want, but I got weed for me. Riding for my fam, trying to hit the grand. Crash unit on my, now I'm in demand. One lonely family I be, all in the hood, I got nobody. The sun is beating down on my red golf hat. I'm roaming through the alley, so I gotta toss my cat. Forgot about the sack, looking for a place to hide. If they ask me for my name, mama lie. One OG gangster I be. Busted in the hood, I got no more weed. Things are coming down on my gangster stash. When they caught me with the weed and the dope and hash. He said a little something, I wasn't so impressed. No more running, homie, now you're under arrest. The sack was in my hand, felt like a sack of bricks. I swore he couldn't see it when I threw it in my whip. He said he wanted some, I said I don't have none. Found it in the sun, on the floor next to my gun. Next thing I saw were the guns to my head. Now the lead will make me dead, and yo, this is what he said. My name is Sergeant Slacker with the license to kill. I think you know what time it is, it's time to get real. Now what do we have here? A banger in his peers. He cut my hand, you understand, he threatened me with tears. Sorry, the head is gonna with the grin. You think the story's over, but it's ready to begin. One OG gangster I be. Busted in the hood, I got no more weed. Things are coming down on my gangster stand. When they caught me with the weed and the dope and hash. Now I got you cracking most of your crew. You got a couple choices of what you can do. Better make the right decision if you know what I mean. You can't do some time or fork over your green. I said I got no green, he started looking at me harder. I said I don't have nothing, you can go fuck your daughter. He hit me with the fist, he hit me with the gat. He put the nightstick to my back. So I think I'm done, the pig's got my gun. It isn't looking good, I got ink on my thumb. Another pig walked in, said he's playing games. He gave another look at me, found out my false name. One OG gangster I be. Busted in the hood, I got no more weed. Pigs are coming down on my gangster stash. When they caught me with the weed and the dope and hash. Sitting there pissed as I dwell in my cell. The place smells like in the county jail. Homie looking at me like you seen me before. He started throwing up a set, then he spit on the floor. I think, hey, yeah, go. I know this kid, it's the same. The cocktail, my crib, this dude said, get ready. Pulled the shank on me. I said, come on, homie, you a bit too sloppy. Fool tried to stab me, socked him in the eye. The guards yelled, give it up, and let two fly. The guards sat down and we hit the floor. If you make a move after, you won't move no more. He said, I see you once again, best protect your neck. I said, eat a dick from me, you don't get respect. I said, you wanna come with it anytime and place. And I'll leave you like Pacino with the scar on your face. They put him in the hole, and all the booze stopped. But when this boy had beef, yeah, he got dropped. PD had no witness, DA dropped the load. I got probation for the gun and the dope case closed. One OG gangster I be. Busted in the hood, I got no more weed. Things are coming down on my gangster stash. When they caught me with the weed and the dope and hash. One OG gangster I be. Busted in the hood, I got no more weed. Things are coming down on my gangster stash.
open hands.
Cypress Hill, everybody.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. This will be a big album for Cypress Hill.
I think so.
I can feel it in my blood. Drew, you know I'm never wrong?
Never. Better curse it.
If I put a curse on it, it's going triple platinum.
That's right.
But again, I have to feel the curse. I can't just manufacture the curse.
Right, you got 40 minutes to feel it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Cypress Hill. I can't put the curse on. If any band I put a curse on goes triple platinum. But again, it's like saying, it's like when I gamble. It's like saying, all right, all I got to do is think of the team I want to bet on, and then I just bet on the opposite, and that's how I'll win, because I always lose, but it doesn't work that way.
Right, you lose no matter what.
I lose no matter what. I can't figure that out. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to actually really bet on that team, and then if you're smart, you'll just bet on the other team.
Other people can win betting
other
against
people.
You, but you can't bet against yourself.
And the day I cut the deal where I start getting a percentage of their winnings because I pick the losing team so consistently is the day I stop picking the losing team.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
It's the same way the curse works, Drew.
Right.
All right.
All right.
Cypress Hill in studio tonight, Till Death Do Us Part, name of the CD. Drew's decided we're going to commercial. Drew, who, I know you don't have a microphone because Drew shuns the mic. He pushes it to the
away.
Other side of the
fat.
Room.
It's
yes, it's fed of the mic. Who are we going to talk to? We're going to talk to Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Hubby has a hard black dot on his penis. Maybe that is his penis. Nikki?
Yes, hello.
You're 20, you have a husband?
Yes, I have a husband.
Mm-hmm. He has a birthmark or a dot on his penis?
I'm not really sure what it is, and that's what I'm kind of interested, because I'd asked him if he'd ever had it checked out at the doctor, and he said that he'd asked the doctor about it, and the doctor said that it's not a big deal and it's normal, but he didn't tell him what it is. It's like on the head of the penis, it's at like the bottom part of the head. And it's like a little hard black dot.
Does it look like kind of a blood blister?
Yeah, it looks like it could be a blood blister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are normal.
Yeah.
And they actually will go away with Aldera, the wart cream.
Really?
Yeah. What?
You can get that from, you know, he's probably really banging the bejesus out of some skank before he met you.
That's
or maybe after
or maybe
he met
currently.
You, and he traumatized himself.
That's
you
a
know what I mean?
Penis trauma, yes.
Yeah.
I highly
PT.
Doubt that.
Be that as it may, wow. It's nothing. And if it cosmetically bothers him,
can you
it's,
pop it? Like, because it
no,
doesn't
I wouldn't,
cosmetically you, bother you, him, but it kind of bothers me.
You use the wart cream, the Aldera. Ask your doctor about that.
Aloe vera?
Aldera. It's a anti-wart cream. We'll actually take care of this, too.
Anti-wart cream. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, baby doll. Married at 20. That's pretty young. Is it going okay?
Yeah, we've only been married 4 months, but I've known him since I was 13, so it kind of seems like it was about time, especially since we were both virgins and stuff, so it kind of made sense.
Wow, 13. It's
yeah,
creepy.
Yeah, we knew each other. Well, I was 13, and he was 18 when we met.
Oh, ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah, super creepy.
We weren't
creepy.
Dating then. We just were friends.
Oh, boy.
And he was a virgin when you guys... He's 25 now?
He's a youth minister. Yeah, he's
25
now.
Youth minister. Oh, yeah. My God. I hope
true.
He's okay.
Either here's the whole thing about these guys who work with kids. They're either saints or the devil.
That's absolutely
you know, there's
true.
No just sort of in-betweeners,
right.
You know?
Right.
They're just the greatest guys in the world, or they're taking pictures of them and
that's
doing
right.
weird things
there's something
to
it. Either extremely altruistic impulse
yeah.
or extremely
they're like cops.
Horrible
they're
impulse.
Either they're either just great guys or trying to make a difference in the community. Or they're just horrible or on the take. They're
yeah.
worse than the criminals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah? Mm-hmm. All right. I don't trust people who want to work with kids.
Well, that have to work with kids. They feel compelled to.
Yeah.
Virgins at 25.
Well, anyways,
yeah.
Men.
Yeah, men.
Yeah.
Men. All right, yeah, because women like kids.
Yeah.
Guys just sort of tolerate them. Let's face it. We're all right with them. All right, nothing against them.
No.
Just tolerate them. We'll take a quick break. Cypress Hill. In the studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Yeah! Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE 191. Cypress Hill is here tonight. Send
that's
Doc,
right.
DJ Muggs.
Yep.
Got a Got a professional massage yesterday at the hotel.
You did? Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I realized...
How'd you like that hotel, by the way?
Nice, but elevator. Too slow.
But they have TV in the elevator.
Yeah.
Three Stooges going.
Let me tell you why it's nice to have a TV in the elevator running. Once in a while, you go to these hotels that have that TV that's up high and tilted down above the door. It's not so that you can enjoy programming while you're in the elevator. It's that so you don't have to make uncomfortable eye contact and silence with other people that are in. Because I always feel like, listen, we're human beings here. Shouldn't we be talking just a little bit? Like, you just get in the elevator with that person. It's that weird thing where you both stare at your shoes for a long time. And then there's eventually someone says something like, yes, snowing. Snowing. Cold. You jump in. Oh, yeah. It's cold.
You go to the gym downstairs there?
It's all weird and stilted and everything. So if they put the TV up there, you can both just stare at it like retards and not have to acknowledge each other. And it makes it much easier.
Did you go to the gym?
I went to the gym down there.
That's good, huh?
I got the massage yesterday. Wow. And I realized I can't enjoy a massage because I'm thinking about either passing gas or getting a boner the entire time. So, like, I'm lying there and I'm thinking... Okay, now don't. First off, you don't realize you don't go an hour without breaking wind while you're awake. You don't think about it until you got some chick working you while you're on your belly.
On things too.
Oh yeah, she's got her knuckles in my liver, and I'm like, honey, another millimeter in, and something's coming out.
Did you get a happy ending?
No. That's. But the other thing is, you are thinking like, let's not get a boner because you're gonna flip over. Like you're on your belly. You're naked. They'll do about 40 minutes while you're on your belly, and then you're going to flip over.
Yeah.
Now, if you get naked and get on your belly, there's a chance you may get a little wood just anyway.
Just with pressure.
Yeah, now you got some chicks. She's rubbing the cream in. She's working the backside and everything. And now you think, don't get a boner. And then you go, oh, now I said boner. Like, I said the word boner, now I may be getting a boner. And so she's pushing on me and stuff, and I think, all right, here's a way not to get boner. I'll just think about Vietnam. I'll think about horrible, you know, kids being burnt by napalm and stuff. So I'm lying there getting this massage with the music. It's the babbling brook with the Yanni music in the background. The chicks are right. And I'm picturing... splattered Vietnamese children, you know, and I'm thinking, now what good is a massage if I'm lying here thinking about Apocalypse Now? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I said, so stop it. And then I started thinking about old people trying to kill the boner. I never did get the boner, which is a good thing.
Massage
and
good?
I start thinking, there's three things. Boner, pass and win, gotta take a leak.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, there's that, you know, and like I said, you've just been lying there and they're working, you're working your abdomen.
There also is this strange
stuff.
Thing when you put your face on that donut, suddenly you can't breathe.
What is that? Yeah, and you start slobbering.
It's a lot of stress getting the massage.
Yeah, slobbering, you can't breathe.
I swear to God, I could only take one a month or I'd kill myself. It's way too stressful. I don't know why. You know what? This is why. I think this is why women can get a massage and enjoy it and
they
relax.
They don't have to worry about all this thing.
Guys are like, what, man, $110 for 50 minutes? Guys are thinking, A, about the money. B, let's not get a boner. C, I'm going to pass some gas. D, I got some chick. She's kind of hot. She's kind of going over. I wonder if I got a zit on my back. What if something popped or something while she was working over or something? Guys got weight. See, we're moving.
Yeah.
We're moving. A chick can just drift off. Same way they can watch a soap. And actually start yelling at the TV and stuff. You know, they just float away into that chick fantasy world where the fantasy and reality starts intermingling. They don't even know where they are. Not us. Couldn't relax.
Yeah.
All right. And also, as a dude, if something hurts, you can't complain. Like, come on.
It's too hard.
Ouch. Yeah, you can't do it. You have to take it, you know, especially if it's a chick. If she's trying to work those knots out of your neck and it actually hurts, you can't say anything.
No.
Because you can't tell a chick to ease up.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a horrible, stressful experience I wish upon no man. Sergio?
Hello?
Sergio, you're 18.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
I want to give first, I want to give some props to Adam and Dr. Drew.
All right.
As a cool. And as a fellow pot smoker, I want to give props to Cypress. You guys have badass music. And I wanted to ask if you guys were going to come and play on 420 in L.A.
Yeah, I think we're doing 420 at the Ford Amphitheater.
At the Amphitheater?
Yeah, we ain't announced it yet, but we're about to announce it next week.
Yeah.
Don't tell nobody.
I think it was just announced.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
I'll keep it on download. Don't even trip.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, I wanted to know how you guys came up. Like, how old were you guys when you guys started playing your music, or how you guys started coming up? Like, where you guys started playing at backyard shows, or how you guys came up like that?
Yeah, we used to do backyard shows in Bell, Cudahy, Linwood, Compton, all that stuff.
That's cool.
The first record I made was, I think, 88 for the movie Colors.
Cool. Hmm. How old were you guys when you guys started?
18.
18?
Yep.
Cool.
Sen was about 34.
Eat a bowl up, homeboy.
Sergio.
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
So you're looking to get into the music scene?
Yeah, I'm in a band right now, and it's kind of like Rage status. We kind of play like Deftones with Rage.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know how to come up, you know, because I want to start playing backyard shows, and I live in South Central, so there's a pretty good scene back here.
Yeah, we'll start playing backyard shows.
Yeah. One day we'll be sitting right there with you guys.
That'd be great.
I'm going to kill myself.
All right,
Sergio.
All right, thanks.
Let's hope it's in the next 6 months, though. I don't want to wait for Sergio.
Right. You don't want to wait the 10 years.
Sergio, and by the way, Ann's not going to get the camera when Sergio comes in here. That's all I'm saying. All right. Lauren?
Yeah?
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
You're in a love triangle?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It says with your ex-husband?
Yes. Fixing to be ex-husband.
Soon to be ex-husband, okay.
Did
yeah.
she say soon she to be or fixin' to
she
be?
She said fixin', but that's Oklahoman for soon to be.
I see.
All right. So.
Well, I'm not really, like, from Oklahoma. I just moved out here because my husband moved out here.
Mm-hmm. From, where'd you move from?
Las Vegas.
All right.
Las Vegas. Fixin' to be is not a Las Vegas term.
Is anyone from Las Vegas? I thought you just sort of went there to die or
pass through.
Or change your identity or run, you know, like deadbeat dads go from, like, people that can't make it to Florida go to Las Vegas, you know?
Yeah? You missed a System of a Down last week. John's got his home set up now in Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is people go to Las Vegas because for $300,000, you get 40 acres of just parched desert, but you get a big spread over there, you know what I mean? All right, so listen, Lauren.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You're gonna divorce your husband.
Yes.
Why? You're only 21. How long have you guys been married?
Well, we've only been married 2 years last month, but we've been together since I was 12 and he was 13.
Wow. All right, what's happening now?
Well, we've had a very rocky time.
Why?
It hasn't been, you know, all sweets or anything like that, so we just finally decided to cut it loose. Well, before, I'd probably say about 6 months ago, I, like, actually met this other person, and I basically started, like, falling head over heels for him, and he's, like, changed me in a lot of ways, and, you know, I could find myself wanting to be with him, you know, for a while.
Sure.
And
this is a 17-year-old guy?
Yes.
Well, first of all, it's not generally a good idea to jump from one relationship to the next. You're escaping one and finding a life preserver in another. And you're doing it with a guy that's a teenager.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's a 17-year-old guy do? And listen, when you're in a crappy relationship, it's easy to get involved with some idiot 17-year-old because he's not going to push on you, and he's going to be happy to be there. He's going to wait on you hand and foot. I mean, he's more puppy than he is person.
It's true.
Right on.
Uh-oh.
That's what I thought you guys were going to say.
Well, I know. Hey, look. It's horrible. Never call this show.
No, I love this show.
You know, the thing about this show is, like, you could call something and go, listen, I'm thinking about giving up the weed, stopping the drinking, finding Jesus Christ, and going to college full time.
How dare you?
And volunteering. We'd be like, okay, slow down there, jackass. We just tell you to do the opposite of whatever your plan
That's
is because we figure it's your plan. How good could it be?
They just keep presenting us with bad plans.
All right, maybe that's how you see it, Drew.
That's how I see it.
I guess you'd have to. Lauren?
Yeah.
Okay, you should end the relationship. Do you have any children with your husband?
Actually, we've had two, but we have maybe like one on the way.
Now, let's just examine that statement for a second. We have like maybe two, but,
well,
but
we
actually have
two.
Like
we've
one
had
on the way.
Two. They actually passed away.
What?
Yeah, I had complications during my pregnancy, and so they passed away. And
you mean they were in utero demise?
Yeah, well, my first one was born at 26 weeks, and he was premature. And
didn't make it.
Yeah.
What's, what is 26 weeks? 3 years?
No, no.
How many years is
26
that?
Weeks won't make it.
What's the won't make it cutoff line?
28.
28? Yeah. Really? 2 weeks. That big a difference,
big
huh?
Big difference, yeah.
Yeah. And I got pregnant again, and I had a miscarriage.
Okay. And that's very trying. It certainly didn't help your relationship with your... And soon to be ex-husband.
And now you're pregnant again, maybe?
Yes.
Maybe,
well,
maybe.
And what's the plan? You've been on the outs with this guy for a number of months. Why are you getting pregnant?
Well, well, actually, I was, like, pregnant, you know, like, when we started seeing each other.
At 13?
No, he means the new guy.
Yeah, the 17. New guy.
Is it the new guy's baby?
Whose baby is it?
It's my ex-husband.
You sure? Well, how about giving this child up for adoption? Why is that
seriously?
Funny? I'm dead seriously because I give it a chance with two parents, with somebody who's stable, has an opportunity to raise a child, interested in raising a child.
How far along are you? How pregnant are you?
I just turned 24 weeks.
That's 2.5 years, right? 3, 4 years. 4, 5 years.
Better than halfway.
Halfway to a decade?
Yeah.
That's so you're is that four and a half months pregnant?
I'm about 5 and a half.
You know, let me tell you something with your parents. Let me just say this. I say this once in a while. Stop with the weeks and then the months once the kid gets born. You know what I mean? They go, how old is your kid? He's 19 and a half months. So it's like, I always got to stop. You know, I got to stop. I got to translate all of it. Yeah, when they go, how pregnant are you? 29 and a half weeks. So it's just give me 3.5 months
yeah,
or 4 months. So round up, come down. Yeah, if the kid's a year and a half plus 2 weeks, just round down. Just go down. And if it's closer to 2 years, just give me two. I don't need the 19 months. I don't need the 26. I know this is how you think when you're pregnant, but I'm always confused by this. I never know what it means. So she's like 4.5 months pregnant. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
And so there's no aborting this one. She got pregnant. Oh, by the way, this is just colossal white trash here. She got pregnant while she was definitely on the outs with the husband. And what is that? What is that? Just self-destruct? Is it sort of stupid meets I don't care meets what? And Lauren?
Yes.
All right. So why are you going to break? Now you're going to have this kid, and why not try to make the relationship work with your husband?
He like ran off, and he's in Oklahoma City, actually, with another female. He's been known to do that since we've been going out since we first got together.
All right. Okay. So now you're going to have the kid and raise it with the 17-year-old? So it's like, man,
no, actually,
less,
he left me today.
The 17-year-old?
Yes.
He just got on his big wheel and started riding? At least you got a sense of humor about it. What happened?
He was a railing man.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, the mother was actually disapproving of it.
His mother.
Yeah,
shocking.
The mother.
All right, so he doesn't want all the baggage. You're chaotic.
Pretty much.
All over the place. You know, you're pregnant. He doesn't want the baggage, all this. He just wants to date a nice little 16-year-old. Fine. All right, so Lauren, have the kid. Give the kid up for adoption and start anew. Get divorced. Start new. Would you?
Right on.
Or right. Dedicate your life to raising this child, which is what you're going to have to do.
Yeah. You just... All right. I don't know about... It's like... I get angry, I get depressed, I get sad. It's just what people are just on this sort of stupid self-destruction. What is that? What is that impulse? I got to marry the ass. I got to get pregnant by the a-hole. I got to get pregnant by the next a-hole. Like, what are you just trying to destroy your life and the world and everything? So give yourself a shot. Give the kid a shot. Have the kid. Give the kid up for adoption and then get your ass together. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Cypress Hill in the studio tonight.
Yeah.
Till Death Do Us Part. Name of the CD. On Tuesday. Well, we have a professional massage therapist who's in the house.
Who mentioned that the boner issue is a very, very common one. Although Adam pointed out that because 19-year-old stoner junior college students can't afford massages, as he put it aptly during the break, the serious boner crowd is taken out of the equation.
Yeah, Drew and I were taking a whiz and trying to figure out what percentage of guys who got a massage flipped over with the boner. And let me just say this. First, if you don't want the guy to flip over with the boner, start him on his back. Work him for 15, 20, then flip him over. Because the problem is he's not going to start with a boner. But as the blood starts moving around and the yoni music swells his brain and penis, it's going to start happening. You can't put a guy on his belly for 40 minutes and then flip him.
Yeah, but interestingly, another example of the great distance between a male and a female brain, both Anne and her friend, the massage therapist, were in there going, you think it's really arousal? Do guys get aroused?
Well, you start rubbing the inner thigh with oil.
Of course they
could
get aroused.
Be a little aroused.
Of course
something's going to happen. Yeah.
Yes.
Especially some guys are thinking something could happen, so they want to turn around with the boner to kind
of
get the point across. Like, I'm ready.
Guys are wonderful, aren't they?
I think I worked out the percentage. Drew thought it was about 30%.
That's my passionate point of view.
Well, Drew is a man of such extreme passion, and he can see why every man doesn't get an erection when he's getting just when someone brushes him in an elevator, Drew gets an erection. He's that passionate.
Broaderism, yes.
A man. But our professional massage therapist says about 15-20%.
Right.
That makes sense. And like I said, because the average guy who can afford a massage is a 50-something-year-old guy whose prostate is acting up. You got a bunch of 19-year-old guys up there, you get a boner almost every time.
Right. But that crowd's out.
That crowd is not paying $110 to get worked over. Or if they do, the boner is definitely a part of the equation. Yeah, a big part. That may be the only
$110, something got to go
that's
on.
That's right. Jesus. That may be the only part of their body that's actually touched. All right.
Oh, my.
Angel?
Yes, sir.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
Hey, man. Oh, first of all, Dr. Drew, it's great to have a person like you giving advice to all these troubled people.
Thank you, Angel.
Because I'm one of them.
All right.
And Adam Crowley, you're the voice of multi-generations. You're not a god. You're something beyond that.
Thank you.
By the way, a great way to endear us to open your call with, I'm screwed up. Then we're like, thank you. Okay, let's hear about it.
And I've often thought God wasn't lofty enough status for me, that I was beyond that. Thank you.
Well, I think philosopher, king.
Yeah, warrior, philosopher, lover. Go ahead, Angel.
Cypress Hill, you guys are great. Man, your music is great ever since, you know, far back. Oh, my God. Anyways, my question is, I've been going out with my girlfriend for about 2 months. She just recently came up with this threesome thing, and I feel kind of gay saying this, not to be say anything bad or, you know, sexist, but her friend that she wants to get involved does have a lot of problems. I think she's been abused. She's used a lot of drugs, and, well, I'm not really into that stuff, and I don't know. I just like to not get involved with that stuff.
And a very healthy impulse. I know it seems almost incomprehensible that you turn out a threesome, but it's actually a very healthy impulse.
He may be one of the few 18-year-olds that would get a rub down and not have a boner when he flipped over. Angel? All right, you really are an angel. Are you in love with your girlfriend?
No, I've only been going out with 2 months, but this girl just seems a little crazy, you know?
Listen, are you serious about your girlfriend?
I was actually going to the Army in a while, so I was
Good. All right. Angel, you're fine.
All right, don't get her pregnant. Do not get this girl pregnant. Because your girlfriend's a little chaotic, too. She's got screwy friends.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Don't get her pregnant. That's all.
I have a question for Cypress Hill. I think I saw you guys playing the other day up in a paintball field up by Six Flags. My friend confirmed that. Is that true?
That's Be Real. He got his little paintball team called the Stoned Assassins.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
They go in there and they go in there and mix it up with a bunch of people. So that's who you saw is him and his homeboys up there. They do the thing. They
Bobo
do
doesn't
every
do that
weekend.
Too, does he?
No, it's Be Real, and I guess Everlast is part of that. And,
oh, my gosh. Everlast.
There's like 30 or 40 of them.
Wow.
Everlast, is he don't have a good enough ticker to be playing that paintball.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, he could. Yeah, yeah.
No, he's got like
a valve replacement, yeah.
But listen, I've heard that thing.
No, I know, but that
sounds like a microwave at the 7-Eleven.
Well, he's on Coumadin, though, isn't it? So he should be getting hit with paintball.
All I know is paintball should not be on Everlast's agenda. He should be, you know, he should be doing that, like, swimming pool exercise, you know, like old people that put the weights on, they go in the swimming pool, you know.
It's aquasize.
Aquasizing. Yeah, Everlast should be aquasizing.
He's out there, boy.
Running out in the jungle getting shot at by stoners. They're gonna have a man down out there.
No, he's one of the stoners.
He's up, but he's on Coumadin, as I recall. It's on blood thinners. He gets hit with a baseball in the wrong place.
Here's what's gonna happen.
Better watch out.
Everlast is gonna get hit by a Be Real paintball. It's going to turn to one of those after-school specials where Be Real panics and says, no one's going to believe us. We got to bury him here. We got to hide his body. Then the next thing, it just spins out of control. You know what
I'm saying?
Everybody
kills each other.
Everyone starts killing. There's some retaliation. Yep. The feds are involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
No. Yeah. No.
Be Real pleads insanity.
No. Insane in the brain. Oh, yeah. Be Real.
Be Real wrote a song about it.
A song about being insane. Yeah, that's a great argument. Right. True. Remind me to write a song about being nuts, so if anything ever happens...
That's all I'll remind you.
It's like, Your Honor, here, just please listen to
I've been saying
three.
It for years.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. Cypress Hill here tonight, and we'll be right back. Well, there you go. Love line, everybody. Producer Ann here with the camera.
Yeah, see? You guys are in.
Yeah. All right.
That's not a real camera, though.
Yes.
It's just fake box.
No, it's a styrofoam one. Cypress Hill, everybody. Till Death Do Us Part. That is the name of the CD. It is out this Tuesday. Also can be found on Dear, Dear, Dear Friend Jimmy Kimmel Live. Found on that
night.
Show that Tuesday night. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Thank you for
yes,
having
sir.
Us.
Thank you for having us.
See you soon. And until next time, this is Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying...
Whoop, whoop.
Mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.